explanation and reference to this chapter in the sermon. A little bit different kind of sermon than what I am used to, but one that I hope that we will be able to follow, and I will be in the sermon, not least because of the length of time that we have, giving some broad strokes of explanation, and I hope that you will go away and finish at the end with a clear idea of not so much just the details, but the benefit. So let's turn our Bibles or follow on a screen. Revelation chapter 13. This is something of a request Sabbath today. I do occasionally do a sermon on request, and someone has asked if I would give some reference to a particular country in Scripture. And that's where our sermon title came from. And let's see if these two things marry up. So Revelation chapter 13 says, "And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea. And I saw a beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on his horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, who had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was astonished and followed the beast. Men worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast. And they also worshipped the beast and said, 'Who is like the beast? Who can make war against him?' The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies, and to exercise his authority for 24 months. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. He was given the power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. All those who have not been written in, all those whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. He who has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to go into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword he will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had 2 horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf, and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. Because of the signs, he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast. He deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast, so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. he also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. As I try and unpick some of the overarching references in our scripture reading today, I will need to dip back into the previous chapter. So if you have a Bible handy, just grab it now so that you're ready. And we will then look at a couple of beasts, but maybe the little spoiler alert that I can give you right now, right at the beginning, is I wonder if we can get too distracted by a tick box type approach to prophecy, and we are running into a danger of missing the real point. Maybe not a total spoiler. I'm careful with my words. I wonder if you were to agree with me. I came across a story one time that a group of people led by one significant guy who seemed to have his name ascribed to a number of findings from biblical archaeology and so on. It doesn't matter who he was or whatever, but the claim was that he had found, at least had sight of, maybe the original Ark of the Covenant. And the story was that they tried to take a picture, but it didn't come out properly and all this kind of thing and whatever else. Now, that might be interesting if they were to ever find the original Ark of the Covenant. But what is more important? The box, or the fact that we know what was written on the rocks in the box? What is more important? Because we know from Scripture what was written on the rocks that were in the box. You see, Moses went up a mountain and God gave him some tablets of stone, and these were some of the things that were put into the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant moved around a number of times, and we'll come back to that maybe one day, but has vanished. But what about the information that was on the stones? Is it more important that we find the box, or that we know the information that was on the rocks? I want to suggest to you that it's more important that we know the information than we find the box. And I ask this question and tell this bit of a story as a lead. Is it more important that we go through this passage of Scripture, this prophetic list, description of different beasts, and that we read it and, yep, that means that, that means that, that means that? Is it more important that we can do that and understand some things from Scripture, from prophecy? Or is it more important that we understand the underlying theme all the way through these beasts? I hope that I'm leading you to realize that it's more important that we understand this theme than we approach prophecy as a tick box exercise. But out of curiosity, Let's have a look at what our Bibles say. We read through Revelation 13, and just to give a little bit of context and run up to Revelation 13, it gave reference to some beasts, didn't it? Revelation 13. Did everyone follow that? We had to start with, it says, and the dragon stood on the shore of the sea. Now, just a little bit of a sort of scary warning. For some people, I hope they're not too scary, but we're going to have a few pictures that are going to come up on the screen. They're just kind of weird animals, all right? They're nothing more scary than that, really. They're weird-looking animals, but these are artist impressions of the descriptions that were given. So in the beginning of Revelation 13, we have the dragon stood on the shore of the sea. Now, a dragon is mentioned then in that previous chapter. And just to give a little bit of an overview, where it talks about a woman in Revelation chapter 12, this is a reference to those true believers, true followers of God. And it describes how this dragon was waiting to devour this child of the true believers. And once we start looking at some of those details, we realize that this child is a reference to Jesus Christ. And then in verse 9 of chapter 12, we get a clear representation of who this dragon is, a description. It says in verse 9 of chapter 12, the great dragon was hurled down, because it had been talking about a great war in heaven and so on. This great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent. Does that ring any bells? Ancient serpent? There was a serpent right at the beginning of the Bible as well, wasn't there? That ancient serpent. So I've lost my place now. The great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. So, question number one. What is the dragon? Who is the dragon? You can shout louder, because I need to go and get... I've had this ear syringed a week or so ago. I've got to get this one vacuumed. I've got a perforated eardrum. So I'm a little bit hard of hearing, and it just helps me know that you're still awake. So I don't mind hecklers occasionally. So the dragon is who? The dragon is Satan. Are we happy with that? Are we sure about that? Is that what we find in Scripture? Okay, we have then a definition or a description of who the dragon is. So it says the dragon, coming back to the beginning of chapter 13 then, the dragon is, okay, says Satan stood on the shore of the sea. Now, in biblical prophecy, what is the sea? Okay, the sea, I've got one or two people here mouthing it to me. The sea is people, a mass of people. And we have then this dragon, Satan, standing on the edge of people before the dragon. And then it says, and I saw a beast coming out of where? Okay, this first beast comes out of the sea. What is the sea representative of? People. So out of people comes the first beast. Okay, you're doing well. Thank you. Then we have a little bit of a description of this first beast. There's 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 crowns on each horn and on each head, a blasphemous name, and so on. Let's see if I can make this thing work. Let's see if we can get a first picture of a beast coming up, because it also goes on to say, the beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like a bear and a mouth like a lion. People have realized that this description is like a combination of beasts that are referenced in the book of Daniel. So let's see if we can... Oh, Sorry, that was the. It was a dragon first. What was the dragon? Okay, here's a funny looking dragon. God, it looks even better than on the big screen. Wow. There's a funny looking dragon, but the dragon in our story here is a reference to Satan. And then we have our next beast. What did we say it looked like? Looked like a leopard with, what was his feet like? Paws like a bear and head or mouth like a lion. Like I say, if we look back in Daniel, we see a number of sequential kingdoms, main dominant kingdoms in the world through time. And here we have the seeming amalgamation of all of these. So from these, we get this other beast. In fact, in Daniel chapter 7, it describes those three beasts and then another one that was just a weird, horrible, yucky kind of beast. I didn't get a picture of one of those from Daniel chapter 7. But this is the cross-reference that we find in Revelation. So what do all these bits mean? Well, we're not going to dissect the whole animal right now, but we are going to pick on a few points. What do we know then about this animal? It says, the dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. Who was the dragon? Dragon is Satan. So it says here, according to scripture, that Satan gave the first beast the what? Power and authority. What kind of power and authority did this beast try to assume? Well, we get a little bit of an answer if we turn our Bibles over to Daniel. Let's see who are the fast ones amongst you. Because the description in Daniel gives us a clue of what kind of authority, what kind of blasphemous behavior this beast tried to do. So Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25. I wonder if someone could, in a nice loud voice, read it out for us. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25. Okay, what will this beast try to do? Is this beast on the side of God's people? No, which side is this beast on? Because this beast got the power from. Okay, so this beast is going to do what? With that kind of satanic power or authority, because the devil wants to destroy what God has made, what is this beast going to do? Try to change what God has instated. This is why I mean it's important that we understand what things represent. But I believe it's even more important that we realize that it's not just a tick box exercise. We need to realize that what is more important is that we hold to what God instated rather than be distracted by the beast. What else can we tell about this beast? It says, men will worship the beast. Well, this is from verse 4. The dragon will worship the dragon because he had given authority to this beast. Wow. Maybe people just didn't realize. But in giving authority to this beast, they were giving authority to the dragon. And the dragon is who? Satan. What kind of times and changes would this beast be trying to do to change? OK. Okay, those people who have read this before and done Bible studies and so on, we know where this is going. But let's just reaffirm. We're getting to our sermon title in just a moment, but we need to have a run-up. So who is the dragon? The dragon is Satan. The Satan gives his power to who? The first beast, and the first beast is trying to do what? Change times and laws and so on. It is in opposition to God's true followers. So who could this first beast be? Well, again, I'm kind of expecting one or two of you already know. But just to give you a little explanation in case you don't or need reminding, I read that the beast in the sequence of other beasts that we find in Daniel, we get to a stage where we have a Roman power has been ruling, and then with that Roman power there is the rise of a spiritual power within Rome. And in 538 AD, we have the Emperor of Rome deciding that now is the time that we will join church and this emerging spiritual state together. So we have the start of something happening with church and state in Rome. And then if we look at a period of time, we look at verse 5, and here we need to unpack a little bit of mathematics as well. It says, the beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his power for 42 months. Now, who's good at maths? Any of the younger ones good at maths? Now, if we go back in those times, we see that a year, 12 months, was 360 days. And that was because there were different ways of measuring years and so on. But this is what we use to calculate the days and months and years and so on. And there's a couple of references in Scripture that talk about days being years and so on in prophetic terms. So if we have 42 months, how many years is 42 months? 3.5. 3.5, if we take 3.5 then and multiply that by 360, this is like big sums on a Sabbath morning, isn't it? What's 3.5 times 360? (laughs) 1,260. Thank you for calculators, hey? I'm sure the mathematicians amongst us had that very, very quickly. 1,260. 1,260 days that equates to then, and because years are days in prophecy, we then need to calculate what happened 1,260 days. What happens then about this beast? This beast has authority for how long? 1,260 days. And if we recognize then that there was this emergence and joining together in 538 plus 1,260, slightly easier maths, is it? It's addition, not multiplication. 1,260 plus 538 comes to 1,798. In 1798, something happened to the beast that is described as beast number one in Revelation 13. What happened to that beast? Something happened. Suddenly, that beast loses its power. If we were to ascribe that this Roman spiritual domain started its rule in 538. We can find that something must have happened in 1798. And sure enough, we find Napoleon, way over in France, makes a command. And he basically says, this Roman church, I want rid of it. And one of his commanders goes off, takes an army, marches into Italy, marches into the papal throne, and kidnaps the Pope, and takes the Pope away to France, where he later dies. That actually signifies the decrease of power of this ruling entity, this spiritual ruling entity. Are we with each other so far? What am I suggesting then is represented by this beast who tries to change times and places and laws and so on? It does seem as though there was a spiritual power who came to a global dominance in 538 and grew and grew and grew in strength and influence. Do you know what they tried to change? Again, because of time, we don't have the opportunity of looking at every detail, but we are talking about a time. And what kind of times did God instate that someone could try to change? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Did it over 6 days, and on the seventh day did what? Set it apart. And during this time, we find that through the enabling of power, we find that this beast tries to change what God has instated. But suddenly, it loses its power. What happens next? Revelation 13, let's come back to this. This is beast number 2. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. Where did the first beast come out of? Okay, out of the sea. What does the sea represent and water represent? People. Okay, so let's say if the sea represents people, what does the earth then represent? A lack of people. So seemingly, where there is a lack or few people, this other beast is emerging. What else do we know about this beast? Well, it's lamb-like with a couple of horns, but spoke like the dragon. Who was the dragon? Round about the time of the demise of the first beast, we have a new kingdom emerging. Come on then, I'm leading the wise people and scholars amongst us. Who do we traditionally ascribe as being this emerging new world power? America. A lot of the rest of the world had already been dominated and populated. There were Native Americans, I know, already in North America, but suddenly with a migration of people over a couple of hundred years, suddenly this new nation was emerging. And through the end of the 1700s, we have the splitting off. Can I put it like that? The splitting off of America from Britain. I was in America once, and someone genuinely asked me the question, do you celebrate the 4th of July? I didn't quite know what to say to this person. Clearly, they didn't really realize what the 4th of July was all about. This is American independence, away from the British, and they're asking a British person, do you celebrate? Maybe I should have said, yes, we're so happy. Now, traditionally, we have recognized and ascribed the description of the next beast in Revelation 13 as America. It's kind of a funny picture, that one, isn't it? Who spoke like the dragon. What else do we know about this next beast? He exercised all authority of the first beast. Now, in the Greek, there is a reference, not necessarily a new, but a similar beast, is the way it's described as the second beast. Similar to the first. Similar to the first. We have the second beast that is emerging. And what does this second beast eventually try to do? The first beast has tried to change times, but what does the second beast try to do? Verse 14, because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. What does the second beast try to do? Deceive the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. This is the first beast. Verse 15, he was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. What does the second beast do? It does the work of the first beast, who was doing the work of the dragon. And who is the dragon? You know, we could go a whole lot more into some of these details and try and tick box our references and so on. Oh, this beast and that, and this means this and this means that. And all of that is important. I don't want to take away from that at all. But my only fear is that we can approach Scripture and we can approach our reading of prophecy a bit like a tick list. Oh yes, this means this, tick. This means this, tick. And we miss the whole point that it's trying to emphasize. Right at the beginning, this dragon, what does the dragon do? If we go back to Revelation 12 and verse 17, it says that then the dragon, and who is the dragon? Then the dragon was enraged with the woman, and the woman are the people of God. The dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. There are going to be two groups of people. Those that hold to the testimony of Jesus and follow God's commands, who don't allow any changes or adaptations. And then those people who are going to be persuaded to do otherwise. Seemingly, maybe for good reason. But actually, it's all part of the devil's plan to change what God has instated and to deceive as many people as possible. It does say, I know I'm aware of our time, but it does say about a mark And there has been all sorts of conversation and speculation about what this mark might be. Did you read it there? In verse 16, he also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on the right hand or on his forehead. Elsewhere it talks about those people, the true followers of God, being sealed or receiving a mark. We're all going to receive a mark. But the difference is, what kind of mark do we receive? What is the mark all about? Well, what is it that the devil is trying to do? The devil is trying to change. Change what? Change the things of God. I believe this mark isn't necessarily a barcode or a thing implanted or whatever, but it might be. That might enable us to buy or sell or whatever. But the distinguishing mark of the true followers of God are those who do not allow the distractions or the changes, whether it's from the first beast, this spiritual power, or from the second beast, this political power. It's people who are ready to stand up and say, you know what, I recognize these beasts because I recognize that all of these beasts get their power through the dragon, through Satan. And I will not accept any changes because I believe that God put something in place and he left it in place. The dragon and the two beasts are united in their work of changing true worship. That's the key. That's the thing that we need to be more worried about, rather than ascribing the first beast to one thing and the second beast to another. Let's not be distracted by a tick box exercise through prophecy. But let's realize that through reading in Revelation and in Daniel, that the intention of all these beasts is to change times and laws. We end up with two groups of people. We have the saints, true worshippers. We have the oppressive, boastful, blasphemous authorities and the people that follow them. Question is, what is more important? The identification of the beasts or knowing what true worship is? Right at the beginning of the book of Revelation, we have some wonderful words that we need to bear in mind as we read through all of the book of Revelation, as we start saying, well, this means this, and this means this, and this means this. Ultimately, what is it all about? Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1 says that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to show his servants what must soon take place. Whatever these beasts mean, whatever we can find in current news and get overexcited about, let's be more excited about our faithfulness in obedience to God and our faith in Jesus Christ.